Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. I'm Grant Reher. My guest today is Dr. Indu Gupta, the health commissioner for Onondaga County. She's also a co-chair of the Onondaga County Drug Task Force and the president of the New York State Association of County Health Officials. Dr. Gupta, welcome to the program.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Well, we're delighted to have you. I wish it were under different circumstances, but I know you're incredibly busy, so thanks again for making the time. Let me just say one thing for our listeners before I ask you my first question, because you know this is a changing landscape. So we are talking on Monday, October 4th. If something changes dramatically between now and when our listeners hear this a little bit later this week. But let me start with this question. When we look across the nation, the most recent COVID surge has begun to dip a bit. But in Onondaga County, that does not yet appear to be the case. In fact, the numbers I just checked today, on Monday, we're still going up. So what's going on in Onondaga County?
You're absolutely right. So as we have been dealing with COVID-19 pandemic since our first case was diagnosed in Onondaga County, specifically on March 16th. And we saw flattened curve in the summer, then in fall, it started to go up with the opening of businesses and schools and everything. And then we peaked somewhere around January. We had like 500 cases or so per day. And then it just started to go down with the implementation of vaccination. And now we have started to see quite a bit of upsurge in our cases. Unfortunately, yes, and our cases are higher than some of the other counties, as we can see that. A lot of it is what I can say, that we do have high number of people who are vaccinated, and people sort of are fatigued, but the virus is not fatigued. So it is impacting those people who even have gotten vaccine. So about 40% of people who have received vaccination are the one who still are getting COVID because they are socializing, mingling with those who are unvaccinated. And some of those things which I always have reminded people is we are still in pandemic. You cannot forget, and you should not forget your simple things which you learned last year is masks, indoor masking. When you don't know anybody in your circles around, then please put the mask on. If you are going to grocery stores or having a get together, if you are in a somewhat mixed group of people, which you don't know many people, that they are vaccinated, not vaccinated, I would recommend that should not be the case. But if that is happening, people really should use, I always use this mask all the time. And as soon as I leave this building, I will keep that on inside and then only probably going to the parking lot. And if I'm going to the grocery store, I'm going to keep it on. Hand washing, physical distancing, and testing. All these things are so important. And if you have a sniffle and all those things in this time of the year with the flu and cold virus and all, you really cannot forget what you learned in the past. All these things help. So vaccines do help. But with the getting the vaccine doesn't mean you don't do the other public health intervention which are going to protect you, because there are many people who are unvaccinated, especially under 12 years of age. So we are seeing, actually, if you think of that, in our community, what we are seeing cases, almost 50% cases are under 30 years of age, and a quarter of our cases are under 12 years of age. They can't get the vaccine right now. So the adults really need to take extra measures to make sure they are there to protect those who cannot get the vaccine and those who are vulnerable, our elderly population, the people who have a significant problem, transplant, renal failure, or diabetes, or under cancer treatment. Those, despite of getting vaccine, can still get COVID. So a lot of those things is people should not put their guards down, especially during this time. So that is my plea to everybody to protect not only to themselves, but also to everyone. Only then our cases will go down.
Well, I hope to hear your plea. This is a comment, not a question, but I have been struck by the decline in mask wearing that I have seen in stores that I usually frequent, even in the last month. It's gone from, you know, half the people masked to sometimes I'm the only one who's masked, and it's really been striking. But let me step back and take a bigger look here into the future. And I have been reading some models that are predicting a decline in cases as we move from the fall into the winter and into the spring. That is, of course, assuming that there isn't a more contagious variant that becomes prevalent, you know, another Delta variant becomes prevalent. Does that sound right to you that we should be expecting that? Not that we should be letting our guard down, but that we should be expecting that?
So at this point, we look at the CDC modeling. Actually, our work gets guided by how the cases are happening, but also forecast by the CDC. So for our county, what we have seen, our numbers continue to be on the higher end. At this point, the prediction has not gone down. The Delta, the only solace I can take in there, that Delta variant is highly contagious, which is in our community throughout the country at this point. The Delta is not only highly contagious, but also can transmit more easily. So what it means that if the original SARS-CoV-2 virus, which causes COVID-19, can infect two or three people, now with this Delta variant, which is the same virus with some new mutation, you can call it, it can infect actually 6 to 9 people. So it's 2 to 3 times more contagious. What it does that it will have much more, for the lack of the better word, spread of the infection in an exponential way. That's mm-hmm. what you saw in India. That's what you saw in other countries, that you saw in some of the southern states where it really overwhelmed the system because they have most of the people who are vaccinated. In our community, about 67 or so percentage of people are fully vaccinated now, which is good, but still not that good, right? I'm going to always say that because to have the herd immunity, to have the protection for the virus not to transmit from one body to another one, you need that wall of people who have received full vaccination. So we still have those gaps where the virus jumps from one to another body. And in doing so, it creates the problem. So there has been some protection provided by those number of people who are vaccinated. That's why we are not seeing that exponential rise, which we were very afraid of, but it is not going down, which we would hope for. So I am optimistic, however, is that people are hopefully getting not only their third dose and booster dose, but at the same time, first and second dose. For those who are young and they feel like we cannot get COVID, or if we get it, oh, we'll get a little bit. There is a concept called long haulers. There's concept called it, you have no idea. Why do you want to invite this into your body? Like you never wanted to have somebody coming and attack us into our heart and lungs and neurological system. So keeping this virus out of our system, the only way is that we not only do the regular public health measures with the mask wearing indoor settings anytime when we don't have any control over the environment, hand washing and keeping physical distancing, and get the vaccine. It's out there so much. So that's the only way we can see those predictions, which has been put it out, can be accurate. You know, the predictions are predictions. People have to really act upon and not to let the guard down.
You're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with the Onondaga County Commissioner of Health, Dr. Indu Gupta. I'm curious to get your reactions to the state vaccine mandate for healthcare workers. First of all, there was some pushback on this, and still pushback on this. Were you surprised by this sector of the workforce pushing back on this?
So I am not surprised, but I am somewhat disappointed, especially for the healthcare professionals who are taking care of patients day in and out, and people actually trust them to take care of them. So when you go to the hospital, you believe you're going into a very safe environment where you are providing that information, get vaccination, get hand washing, get, you know, all the, put the mask on. So you believe that healthcare professionals are modeling that behavior, which they're telling everybody. So it does get somewhat disappointing. However, considering the way the virus has taken a turn from the political arena, that's not surprising. Hmm. But I do believe that in the mandate for the healthcare professional, 100%. And as a, not only as a healthcare, the public health commissioner of the county, as a physician, as a mother, as a member of a community, I think it's, and also a president of the County Health Association, 100% support that it should be that every health professional should take it. This way, they not only protect themselves, their own family, but also protect those who are dependent on them. Those who sometimes, especially the young children, can't protect themselves because they don't have they can't even get the vaccine. Those who are getting chemotherapy, those who are getting transplant medication, other immunotherapy, their system has not been able to respond that strongly. So isn't that what we should be protecting them? I think that is important for all of us to do.
Well, let me ask you this very specific question. Correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't healthcare workers already required to get a whole bunch of other vaccines? I mean, don't they have to have a whole slew of the same kinds of vaccines that our children in schools have to get? So, okay, you're nodding your head.
Yes.
So correct. All
yes.
right.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So that, to me, undermines the freedom of choice argument that I have heard, because we've already gone past that with
right.
other vaccines. All right, so let me ask you this other question then. Doesn't this also
add to what you just said.
Absolutely.
And there is another excuse which we hear most of the time is this is not fully approved vaccine.
Okay.
Pfizer is fully approved vaccine now. So that adds to that their requirements for healthcare professionals to keep them safe from the patients and to protect patients from them. And also these are fully approved. One of them, Pfizer, is fully approved vaccine. So that is certainly very important for everybody to understand.
Okay, thank you for that. And then though, the other thing I wanted to ask is, what does this say about isn't the motto of the healthcare profession, first do no harm? I mean, it would seem to me that if that is what you live by, then you would be concerned about that. If you didn't have this vaccine, you might be doing harm,
right.
correct?
So do no harm is the first principle of any healthcare professional. And I think it is. Some of those things, what I would say that those healthcare professionals who are hesitant or reluctant, they do not have the right information. And I would encourage all of them to read every literature comes from the right sources, not from social media, not from the media sites which are perpetuating this misinformation, from the CDC, from the peer-reviewed journals, from their doctor, from the right sources where you can actually get the right information. And some of the time from some of the healthcare professional, especially in African-American community, is because of mistrust in the past. And I could tell you that in our clinics, we have vaccinated those individuals who have been descendants or have been a generations of Tuskegee trial. And I had conversation with those elders that what are your message to them? And they said, we have looked at information, and they encourage everybody to get vaccinated because everything is so transparent during this time. There is no hidden agenda anyone have. And information is literally at the people's fingertips. So I think I would implore all the healthcare professionals who are hesitant to get the information from the right sources. And when the questions of religious exemptions comes, I have not heard any big religious authority to come out and say against it. So that also doesn't go into that favor. And when you're talking medical exemption, actually it is on the other side People who have underlying medical problems, they should be the first one in line to get the vaccine, because this virus does not discriminate for anything. It really gets you down and creates havoc.
You're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with Dr. Indu Gupta. She's the health commissioner for Onondaga County, and we've been discussing the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, we were discussing healthcare workers before the break, but teachers in New York State, my understanding is that they are now required either to be vaccinated or to have weekly COVID tests. Do you think that goes far enough, or should they just have a complete mandate like healthcare workers?
So I think complete mandate a lot of times is once the vaccine is approved, it's up to the federal government to start those, and then also going into from the New York State. The mandates are really make people take the vaccine. However, at this point, because there's so much discomfort, getting a middle of the road may not be a bad idea, just to give people enough comfort. I understand that. The mandate for the teachers really is very crucial to protect those children who can't get the vaccine under 12 years of age yet. And why? Because the Delta variant or any other new mutant, which are going to come our ways, they started to impact the kids much more worse than the adults at this point. And we don't know what will be long-term consequences of this virus if it gets to in a child's body. So this is, as an adult, as a parent, as teachers, our job, our duty is to protect not only us, but also to protect kids. And that is what the mandate actually does, to protect those who don't have a voice right now.
So you've been talking a lot and emphasizing the importance of wearing masks, social distancing, getting vaccinated, washing your hands. Now, the big question here is what messaging works, because clearly these messages have been bouncing off a good chunk of the population.
Right.
So you must think about this all the time. So at this point, given that we've had 700,000 people die, what are the kinds of messages that are most likely to penetrate and not bounce off and not fall into this political trap that you already referenced earlier, that, you know, it becomes this political football back and forth? I've been wearing masks sometimes in stores, and I think people are kind of giving me a dirty look for wearing a mask. I mean, it's crazy. Right. So what's the best kind of messaging, do you think, at this point? What have you folks learned?
Right. So this is a complicated issue at this point, because in the beginning of pandemic, everybody was confused and scared. So any message came out from the public health arena was actually very well received, especially in our community. There was a mask mandate in a social gathering and all those. It worked like a perfect charm. You saw our cases in our county. Our cases actually never went high because of the so many things people did, even though they were mandated. But I saw everybody was putting the mask on, even a younger one. I will look at the kids bicycling in the road and they had the mask on, and I will be so happy to see that. And to your point, yes, it's not happening right now because people are thinking that pandemic is behind us. Lesson number one, pandemic is not behind us. Until every country is out of that, every county is out of that within the state, as well as within every state is out, we are not going to be out of this pandemic. And why should we get concerned about? Because it's really impeding our capability to live the life to the fullest, right? If you want to go to the bar, you want to go to the karaoke, you want to have a big wedding, big open one, you want to hang out with your friends without thinking, that's not happening. It's in back of everybody's head. Whether people say that, oh, we don't care about that, they are still thinking, because I have seen people lining up for the test because suddenly, oh, I have the sniffle now, I am going to get tested. So it's not that they are not worried about this. They just don't want to think about that. So what I would ask people is at this point is if you can take a little extra precaution at this point, which can give you more bang for your buck, why won't you do that? Keep your mask on so that you are not going to get worried when you come home that, oh, maybe I was next to somebody who may have COVID or coughing and sneezing. And you will be protected because masks do work. You take your temperature. If you are concerned about that, you want to do symptom check, hand washing, physical distancing. Those do work because ultimately it puts you in isolation if you get, if you become a case. There is no waste. I know people have been not sometimes complying. 5 to 10% of people don't want to talk to our case investigator. They get upset about it. They said, we are not going to follow you and all those, but I'm sure they still worry about their health. It's very hard for me to imagine that those people are not, they went to get the test. They really did took the first step. So next thing, even though they're not complying, they are still not actually going to go out and start to doing everything. So why not take a extra step to protect yourself, to make sure you use the mask and you get the vaccine so that you can live your life to the fullest. You can travel anywhere you want. But again, with these precautions, messaging is not about politics. It's not which side of the aisle you are. It's about your health. Because at the end of the day, how we live our life, I used to, you know, as a practicing physician, when people were diagnosed with diabetes, hypertension, the person who actually goes through that, takes the medication, if they are non-compliant, I used to tell them it is going to impact your health. I had some patients who had very significantly uncontrolled diabetes or if uncontrolled hypertension. And I will say, you know, Mr. or Mrs. such and such, that you will die. I literally had to tell them. And they'll say, that's fine. But I knew that it will impact their own family. However, it did not impact. Yes, it did happen. Unfortunately, they end up dying. And who got impacted? Their own close family, not even their friends, but not their neighbors, but in pandemic, all bets are off. Everybody has a domino. It's a domino effect. Everybody gets impacted. Your community, your neighbors, your friends and family, because you can infect so many people. So that's why it's called public health crisis. That's why it's pandemic. That's why those mandates have come into the picture, because it's not only us. Our health is impacting everybody's health. And that is the big lesson I want people to think about.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. And my guest is Onondaga County Health Commissioner, Dr. Indu Gupta. You may not want to speculate about this, but I did want to ask you to, it's a hypothetical, but if we as a nation, if we as a state, if we as a county had pretty much full compliance among the population regarding all the things that you're talking about from the beginning, including the vaccination program that happened later, where would we be right now?
So we would be back to
everybody did what they were told to do.
Everybody did what they were supposed to do by the book, following how a public health crisis need to be handled to contain the virus. Then we would be basically back to ourselves, enjoying the way we do. Like flu comes and goes, and we have other chronic infectious, you know, seasonal things come, common cold virus. We might have accepted that it could be part of it, or if that was from the beginning of the pandemic, if it would have handled internationally much better, we wouldn't be here. And you can take some of the examples of the New Zealand was the best example where they contain. If they have one case, they pretty much shut down the whole city, right? Mm. Because to contain the virus, because by the time you have more cases, the horse is out of the barn. And it goes against the public health control of the pandemic. It goes against the principle to controlling any public health crisis if you have more cases. We deal with a little bit fires on daily basis in our infectious diseases, whether it's a hepatitis or whether it's a TB, whether it's a mumps and measles now. We contain them we try to do that, but because we have a lot of information in pandemic, COVID-19, it just went out of control. So we would be basically back to ourselves.
So we've only got about a minute, a little more than a minute left, but I wanted to make sure that I asked you this question, and it's a more of a personal question, but on a personal level, how difficult has all this been for you, knowing what you know about public health, knowing what you know about how viruses spread, to watch what you've watched? How tough has that been?
It has been very difficult. It has been very disheartening and emotionally very draining, because as a physician, I know that the scientific medical community have been able to bring so many great solutions in such a small time frame without compromising scientific integrity, from not only public health measures, but treatment, you know, from the antiviral with the monoclonal antibodies to the vaccine. It's like a dream come true, but it has not been able to provide the full outcome, the full benefit of that. So I can see that there is the end of pandemic is in our sight. I could see that if everybody actually will participate in what the medical community, what the public health community is giving information and asking to have everybody participate, I could see that we can achieve that. It's within our reach, but it just keeps on getting pushed out. So, but I have hope. I'm hoping that people will continue to listen to us and come along the way. And one day we can say pandemic is behind us. I'm looking forward for that day.
Well, I hope folks will listen to you as well. That was Dr. Indu Gupta. And Dr. Gupta, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. And I do hope that before too long, you will be able to get some rest.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. Conversations in the public interest.
The Campbell Conversations, Conversations in the Public Interest, is hosted and produced by Grant Reher. Assistant producer is Jacqueline Witwicky, and the program is edited by Mark Lipponier. The Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. To learn more about the program and to hear previous interviews, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.